Good morning. It is a great day to praise our awesome God, and we are going to do that today. It is going to be a little bit different service. We're going to start out with our announcements, and then we're going to get right into the Word, and then we're going to intersperse music and God's Word together as we go through this day. So there will be a little bit of up and down, but at the end of it, I think we're going to walk out of here truly pumped about who our God is. But I do want to start out with a couple of announcements. Just real quick, there's a bunch in the bulletin, so please make sure you get a bulletin and read it. You don't want to miss out on anything, but one thing we really want to point to you, it is we are in the third month of our summer challenge, and there is this incredible challenge to actually go ahead and volunteer and serve in a capacity. That's the challenge for this month, which is really good because on the other side of that sheet are saved people, serve people. We have some great opportunities for you to step into that challenge and volunteer to serve. So please check that out. And if you would pray about it and think about the things, especially in our student and kids ministry. If you are visiting with us today, we have this incredible little card called our Connect card, and it is in the pew in front of you. And you'll want to take that out and fill it out and let us know you were here. We'll let you know about the ministries we have here at Christian Fellowship Church. And we would love for you to just let us know you were here. So we can get some information. And also, if you are a regular attender, pop some prayer requests on there or praises. We would love to be praying for you in whatever way we can as a staff. Right now, we are going to start out our service by praying. So if you would just bow your heads and pray with me. God, thank you. Thank you for this day, this opportunity to be here in this room, to worship you. God, we want our hearts to be attuned to the amazing, awesome God that you are. And I pray, Lord, that as we go through the scriptures, as we sing praises to your name, that we will be motivated to be outside of this building praising your name and declaring your awesomeness to all. We love you, we worship you, and it is in your Son's incredibly powerful, precious, awesome name that we pray these things, the name of Jesus. Amen. In Psalm 66, it says, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name." Selah. Selah, that word at the end. It's actually kind of a word that it's not controversial, but it is certainly talked a lot about because of what is the meaning of Selah, right down to the fact that when you go and check in how to pronounce that name, it's about 60-40, the 60% say Selah, but many of us say Selah. But that word, the definition, one of the definitions for Selah is a rabbinic tradition, and it comes from Numbers 14, and it says, "Please forgive the sins of this people." And supposedly, that could be an acronym for the Hebrew letters for those words. That's one option. Another one is that it's just a pause in the text, where we're reading along in the text, and you need to pause and think about what is it that you're reading. Another is that it's a synonym for one of the Hebrew words that means forever. And it also, there's a definition that's pretty popular out there that it's a derivative of the Hebrew root word salah, which means to raise voices in praise, make the instruments louder. You know, the Psalms are songs. They're songs. They were meant to be sung. And so as we go through this and we see here, this word, Selah, is actually used 74 times in the Bible, 71 of them is in the Psalms, and three of them are in Psalm 66. And so as we go through this and work through Psalm 66, we're going to use that word Selah when it comes up, and we're going to stop, and we're going to pause, and maybe raise our voices louder, and sing our praises to our awesome God. It started right, shout for joy to God, all the earth, sing the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. It tells us that we are to shout sing and speak our praise to our awesome God. We should, through our actions, our singing, and verbally be telling of his awesome deeds. Do we need to do this because he needs to know what his awesome deeds are? No, that's not why we do it. Why do we do it? We need to do it so that he sees that we recognize his awesome deeds. So we want to sing, shout, and tell praises to his Lord, to our God. The psalmist is reminding that the nations of Israel, that God has vanquished their enemies. All the earth worships you and sings your praises. Selah. So we're going to take a moment and pause. And we're going to stand and sing the song, How Good It Is. It's, oh, how good that it is to sing praise to the Lord. How great is the name above all names. From the rising of the morning sun to the setting of the same. Oh, how good that it is to sing praise. How good it is. So please, let's stand and sing how good it is to sing praises to our God. Do you believe it's good? How good is it to sing our praise to our God? As we continue praising our awesome God on this Sunday, we're going to keep moving on in Psalm 66 into verse 5, where it says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Come and see what God has done. He's awesome in his deeds. You know, keep in mind that before we hit the first Selah, we were told that all the earth worships and praises our awesome God. Well, now the earth and the nation of Israel and the singers are asked to come and see what God has actually done. He's pointing out, look, see it, see what God's done. And then he goes ahead and lists a couple of things that were amazing that our awesome God did, some of the awesome deeds that he did, right? He turned the sea into dry land and they passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice. This is speaking, obviously, right, of the two different times where God did this for the nation of Israel. When they left Egypt on the Exodus, right? We all know they get to the Red Sea and the Red Sea's in front of them and Pharaoh's coming from behind, right? And what does God do? He parts it. He opens it. Creates this wall on either side. And here's the amazing thing. How long has the Red Sea been covering the mud and the muck that was down there? For a long, long time. But what did they walk on? They walked on dry ground. Exodus 14, 29. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Think about that. Think of the awesome power over creation that God had to have to take this huge body of water, let alone just opening it up and creating walls, but then to have the ground immediately be dry. Only God. Only God. And then another point in their journey, the Israelites get to the Jordan River and they need to get from one side to the other. And you know, the Jordan River, it's no small river, but this was at harvest time, it says. And at harvest time, the water flow was immense, immense. This was a wide river. And they get up to it, and what does God tell Joshua to do? He says, listen, get the guys, 12 tribe members together, get the ark, and when you get to the river, don't be afraid. Have them step right in. And when they step right in, I promise you'll be okay. Think of that faith. This is a raging river. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which is no light thing to carry. And they're saying, listen, just step in and I got you. They had the faith. They step in. And what happens? Same thing. The river parts. And there's a wall of water on each side. And what do they walk on? Dry ground. Joshua 3:17. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the water. Only God. Only God could take this raging river and stop it and create dry ground for them to walk. How awesome. How awesome is our God's deeds. Verse 7 goes on and says, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. The psalmist is telling us that the power displayed through the exodus from Egypt and the opening of the Jordan River so the Israelites could cross should serve as a display of God's world-beating power. Sovereign control over the whole world, over all creation. A God who demonstrates that he will watch out for us. A power that can squash any rebellious attitude or action that Satan could muster up. You know, in our ABF last week, we were talking about prayer. And that for us to truly walk in an attitude and in a posture of prayer, we have to truly understand who God is. And how do we truly understand who God is? Well, first of all, we have his word, and we need to read his word. We need to be in his word regularly, daily, right? That's the biggest way that God can reveal himself to us. But to truly understand who our God is, we have to look back and see what awesome deeds has God done for us? What has he done for us? What has he done for us, right? This last week, I had the wonderful privilege and opportunity of celebrating my 38th wedding anniversary. I know, pretty cool, huh? Pretty awesome. You know, I've known this. I don't know why, but maybe it's because I've been working on this sermon. But how awesome is my God that he gave me my best friend, to be married to for 38 years. Do I recognize that as something that's from God? I do this week. How awesome is our God and what he does? I was thinking about couple of things that have just happened in our church over the past couple of weeks. Kathy Ballwell's been fighting a huge battle and hoping that she was going to be able to have a special procedure that's coming up, but her numbers were not where they should be. And we've been praying, Lord, please let her numbers be where they should be. Guess what? God answered that prayer. Her numbers are where they need to be so she can now have the treatment that she needs to try to fight this cancer even better. Our God is awesome. And a couple of weeks ago, we shared with you that Katie Hoffman, who was diagnosed with cancer, no longer has cancer. Our God is awesome. His deeds are amazing. We just had I got to be careful. The church where I was at sent out kids on a missions trip. The church where I was at was quite a bit bigger than our church. And they sent about a third of the kids. This church sent so many kids to missions this summer, to Harrisburg, to Belize. And one of the reports that we got back from Belize is that God used our missions team to lead a young man to the Lord. How praise God, is that amazing? You should be chat clapping right now because someone's going to be in heaven. Because God used our missions team. Our God is awesome. His deeds are awesome. And for us to truly understand him, we have to look and search and praise him for those awesome deeds because he does so much. But I'm going to say that we not only have to praise him for what he has done, We have to praise him for what he will do. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Doug talked about how we can praise God, or how can we praise God when he doesn't deliver us in the here and now. When we face those very difficult circumstances and things don't get turned around or changed around here on this earth. Well, we can look to the fullness of deliverance through Jesus, and that alone is enough to proclaim his awesome deeds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. For they themselves report concerning the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Our God is awesome. And while there is wrath, there is deliverance. And there is deliverance through Jesus and what he did on the cross. He gave his life, and through his blood and through his resurrection, we have the eternal presence of God. Amen? He is awesome. Selah. Let's pause and think about how awesome he is. Let's sing to his glory. We're going to sing "To God Be the Glory." To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin. And it opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Please stand and sing. Verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Selah. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Again, the psalmist is starting his section with this thing that we are to do, right? This action that we are to take. Bless our God. Sing our praises to our awesome God for who he is, for what he's done, for what he's going to do. The next, he acknowledges that there were times of trial, that there were difficult times. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. In Malachi 3:3, it says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. You know what? You've probably heard it, but just in case, I want to make sure you understand what this is talking about, how important this is, right? The refiner, the guy who's doing the refining of the silver, what he has to do to get the impurities out of silver is he takes the silver and he literally holds it to the flame. He burns it. He gets it so that it is so hot that the impurities will burn out and go away. And then all that you have left is pure silver. But here's the really cool part. This is the best part of this whole object lesson. How does he know when the silver's ready? How can he tell that it's pure? It's when he can see his image in it. Yeah. How awesome is our God? We go through tests. We go through trials. But as we go through these, what is the ultimate goal? Is that God can see his image in us. Yeah, they're hard, they're difficult. But we need to praise our God in the midst. We need to praise our God in the midst. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. Think about this. There's a picture that'll come up right here. Think about when a fish, and they scoop up all of the fish into the net. Think about the poor little guy down at the bottom of that net. Yeah, that's crushing. Think of that word picture. That's pain. You brought us into this. You took us through this. Our God is awesome. Because we're going to see that he doesn't leave us at this point. That word, crushing burden, it's an unusual word that conveys a sense of being pressed with agonizing weight. Think about that. Agonizing weight on our backs. On our backs, the Hebrew word there literally means loins. It's where we get our core strength from. And so here we are with this agonizing, crushing weight on our inner being. That's what they're talking about here. You're like, wait, Pastor Aaron, I thought we were talking about how awesome our God is. He is, I promise. He is. He goes on in verse 12 and he says, you let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Think about the fear that that evokes. If you're in battle and someone's riding over your head, what does that mean? Yeah, you're down. You're down. You're losing. You're being defeated. I promise you, though, our God is awesome. His deeds are awesome. Because what happens? He sees his image in us. He releases us from the net. He overcomes the fear, and he brings us to a place, not just to a place where we're okay. He brings us to a place of abundance. Abundance. Overflowing. What does David say in Psalm 23? My cup overflows. Abundance, out, delivered completely. The place of abundance could be talking about the promised land, right? That could be what they're talking about. But it also could be pointing to the ultimate deliverance that we just talked about of the nation of Israel that will be fulfilled in the end times. What is going to come through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He opens the door to the place of abundance for all of us. That we all get to be pulled and delivered to a place of abundance. The deliverance that we talked about. The psalmist now makes a shift. Up to this point, he's been speaking as if speaking on behalf of the nation of Israel and to the nation of Israel. And starting in verse 13, he transitions to where he starts speaking from the first person. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. He's saying here that he understands that in the moment of the trial, the moment of difficulty, the moment when they were in the midst, he was saying, look, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me and I will do this. I promise I will do this. And so now he's coming and he's saying, here it is, God. You did it. You brought me to the place of abundance. You brought us to the place of abundance. You took care of me in the midst of my trial. You took care of me when I was struggling, when I was facing the difficult time. So now I am going to give you the offering that you deserve. Verse 15, I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. What is he offering there? He's offering his best. He's not giving them the scrawny animal that they're not going to be able to get much meat off of. No, he's saying, look, I'm going to give you the fattened animal. I'm going to give you the one that is the best, the one that is most worthy of you, God, the fattened animal. I'm going to bring you my best goats, my best sheep. You're going to get the bulls. The most important animal there in that group is the bull, right? You have it, God. It's yours. Because you brought me out of the net. You brought me out from underneath those trampling me down. You brought me to abundance. Our God is awesome. He is amazing for what he's done and what he will do. Selah. Pause. Break. Think about it. Give praise to God. The worship team is going to sing a song that's going to be new to us. If you listen to Air Force One or Air One, whatever that station is, they play it on there. But man, has it got some great lyrics. It's called Praise the Lord Forever. For the one who's brokenhearted, for the one who's going through the fire, being trampled on, whose back is being crushed. For the one who is brokenhearted and it's hard to sing this song because you've been walking through the valley and your faith is feeling small, I pray peace and love surround you. From the God who understands, as the family all around you lifts your arms up when you can't, join the choir of creation with the song of the redeemed. Come on, church, lift your voice and sing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord forever. Bless his name. Let all within me sing. Praise the Lord forever and ever and ever. We will praise the Lord. If you are feeling that fire, you're feeling trampled, you're feeling the crushing weight in your inner being, praise the Lord. Because you will be delivered into abundance. Listen to this song. Does your soul sing, How Great Thou Art? Do we walk around understanding how awesome our God is every day, not just on Sunday? Verse 16 says, Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God. Because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done. I will tell you what he has done for my soul. He wants everyone to see and know just how awesome our God is. And how are they going to know if they don't know him? You don't know what you don't know. How are they going to know? They're going to know by us telling them, by us sharing his awesome deeds and what he's done for us, how he's delivered you through whatever he's delivered you through, or how you know what he is going to deliver you through and bring you to a place of abundance. How do we do it? I cried to him with my mouth. And high praise was on my tongue. That word cried literally means shout. I shout praises to God. Not just, hey, you guys should see what God did for me. No. Be about what God has done for you. Share the awesome deeds that he's done. Be about telling people how amazing he is. When was the last time you said, hey, my God's awesome. Do you know him? I speak to myself on this. I don't want you to think I get it right and I walk around every day, all day, saying, do you know my awesome God? I should. Shame on me that I don't. Because his deeds are awesome. We've been talking a lot about that word and that it should only be reserved for God. Well, Pastor Doug was saying in staff meeting to this, you know, that was kind of just a passing sentence. It wasn't really even in my notes. I said, yeah, but it affected me, man. He is awesome, and he deserves that word. He's exalted with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. He's not saying here that if we sin, God won't listen to us. He's talking about our heart attitude. If I cherished sin in my heart, I say this a lot, and I believe it to be true. God cares more about why we do what we do than what we do, what we do, than what we do. That includes the good stuff, too. Why are we doing the good stuff? Are we doing it to bring praise and honor and glory to our God? The sin, do we struggle with sin? Do we try not to sin? Is it our goal to live a sinless life, even though we can't do it and we fall and we fail? That's not what it's saying here. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And he was talking about who was going to be anointed as king. And he's saying, no, David is who I want because of David's heart. And as Pastor Matt told us last week, David was far from perfect. Far. But God listened to David because his heart's desire was to follow God. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus himself quotes Isaiah. He says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They're talking like they love me. They're talking like they're praising me. They're singing like they're praising me, but their heart is far from me. Where's your heart? Is your heart seeking after God? Is your heart seeking to truly proclaim his awesome deeds all the time, daily? Is that your desire? Then God's going to listen. Right? Verse 19. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. The psalmist is concluding this psalm that God hears his prayer. He accepts his prayer. He acts on those prayers, and his love will always abound. That's our God. That is the awesome God that has created us to have a relationship with him. Do you have that relationship? Have you trusted in what Christ did on the cross for you? Because all it takes is believing, I'm not worthy. I can't do it on my own. I do believe what you did for me. And when you do that, you trust in that, then you get the power of his resurrection. You get the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And you can praise our awesome God with everything that you have, because he will deliver you into abundance. That is our God. That is the awesome deeds. We're going to sing, how great is our God. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of our praise, my heart will sing. How great is our God. Are you ready to sing that? Are you ready to let your praise be put out there for all to hear? Are you ready to walk out and tell people, hey, my God's awesome. Do you know him? Because he is. Look at what he's done and see what he's going to do and find the abundance. Please stand and sing, How Great is Our God. Psalm 63 says this, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. We have an awesome God, folks. Do we recognize it? Do we shout it from the mountaintops? Do we praise him with our whole being? Do we acknowledge it every day? Or is it just reserved for Sundays? It is great to praise our awesome God on Sundays, but we need to be about our awesome God outside of these walls and letting the world know. We're going to sing one more song about our great Lord. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. All hearts will cry. These bones will say, great are you, Lord. It is your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Great are you, Lord. Let's sing that. Let's sing it with all you got, folks. Let it out right now. Hey, and feel free to raise your hands if you feel the movement of the Holy Spirit doing that. Praise our God, please. Great are you, Lord. Lord, you are great. You are awesome. We praise your name. Now, God, I pray that we would walk outside of these doors and sing that it is your breath in our lungs and that you are awesome, that we show others who you are, God. Move us to be the gospel by declaring your awesomeness. We pray this in your son's incredibly powerful, precious, holy, awesome name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being here. Have a great week.